Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty. Let me say good day to all of you wherever you are listening on the airways of TalkTainmentRadio.com. I am Mr. Bobby, and again, welcome to Talktainment Radio. You are now listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and it is heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. To get in contact with the show, you may call this number, 1-877-932-9766, and you can get in contact with the show that way. We also encourage you to go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage and click on the programs, and then you'll scroll down to where the compensatory concept, that's in the Wednesday action, with Mr. Neely Fuller on there, and you can click on that, and you can hear us live, and that also gives you a chance to be able to ask some questions, especially if you call in. We will also read your Gmails, and we are stacked up with those, and we appreciate you calling. Also, we will be discussing or information about donations. We will do some for this hour, and an announcement will be made in the second hour, and that money that you donate goes to the second hour of production because it does cost to produce the compensatory concept. Mr. Fuller and myself are not compensated in any way, fashion, shape, or form from that, but it is done that way so that the callers or listeners can have an opportunity to participate in the show. Last week, we read an email by a gentleman named Mr. Palmer, and he spoke about intelligent resistance. And I'm kind of deliberately taking my time so we can set this up when I give the signal for that to be heard. I did call Mr. Fuller, about that, and Mr. Fuller agreed to allow that to be said so we can comment on that. So before we get started with that, let me say this. Good morning, Mr. Fuller, and how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
All righty. That's very good. Okay, anyway, a question came up about intelligent resistance, and Mr. Fuller did not, or could not, rather, recall when it was said, but he gave his definition, and as he and I talked, and by the way, Mr. Fuller and I do not talk or discuss too much about how the show goes. It just flows whichever way that it goes. Mistakes and all, it's live, just the way it is. So that's open to criticism. Some do not like it that way, but that's raw. It's not rehearsed. Whatever is said is said. Anyway, I played it for Mr. Fuller, and he said, yeah, go ahead and do that, because if he has made a mistake or if it's not clear, he wants to clear that up. So if we have that ready to go ahead and play that. This is Neely Fuller and myself discussing this intelligent resistance.
And in the frame, if you look at that movie in Shawshank Redemption, he had to put up with a lot of things that he didn't want to put up with.
Yeah, he got beat on.
He got beat on. He got sodomized, all right, by other prisoners, which is what happens in a system of white supremacy. you get shot at, or you might get killed by other prisoners.
So are you saying that we are to be beat on it also then?
No, but I'm saying if it happens,
yeah,
you may have to endure some of these things in order to get in position where you don't have to endure it.
Oh, okay.
See what I mean?
Woo. Yes, sir.
See, you're a prisoner of war. So everything that goes with that means you have to endure it.
Okay.
See, every prisoner is thinking about, hey, I'm getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most prisoners anyway,
yes,
except
sir.
Those who have become institutionalized,
yes,
have
sir.
Gotten to the place where they like it, like being prisoners.
Mm.
But most prisoners won't. They don't want to be prisoners.
Yes, sir.
All right? So, but you have to be intelligent about how you go about doing it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, your first day in a prison, I don't think you run right up to the razor wire and say, I dare you to shoot me. All right.
No,
when
no,
they have
no.
told you don't go anywhere near that razor wire, you will get shot.
Yes.
That is not intelligent resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, if you're pulled over, don't fuss, don't fight, and don't flee.
That's a good word, intelligent resistance. I never heard that term before, but that sounds good.
Counter-racism is all about being methodical and intelligent and logical in every move that you make.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're not going to be what? Successful.
Okay, there you heard an excerpt from a program that Mr. Fuller and myself did. And he spoke about that, and as Mr. Fuller and I talked last week, he mentioned that it is not in the book, but when Mr. Palmer wrote that question, he was referring to this show. Mr. Fuller, good morning again. You referred to it, you used examples in that to make it clear, is that correct?
Yes, I intended to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, is there anything else that you want to add to that so that...
No, if there's any other questions, then I'll try to answer those questions.
Okay. All right. So there you go, Mr. Palmer. These questions that you asked concerning that, Mr. Fuller did address that. Remember, it is not in the code book, and it's not in the... definitions or the word guide. It's not in there. You won't find it in there, but Mr. Fuller offered it off the cuff. By the way, I have to do this. For those that are listening, go to Talktainment. I misspoke this, but go to TalktainmentRadio.com. Hit the Listen Live button where you can also like and share. You can view the entire program. Mr. Fuller, there's a lot that's been going on in the news, elections and court cases and all that. But as we try to produce justice and we hear all this stuff constantly bombarded with that, how do we continually keep the focus on what we are supposed to be doing in resisting justice, or rather in resisting this racism while we are yet still in this prison system?
More than anything, I'm sorry to say more than ever, more than anything, because we're supposed to be doing it all the time. Divide everything into one of two categories, just one of two categories, constructive, non-constructive. That which works for the best and that which doesn't. And try to make everything that you do in every area of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and if someone is fighting you, war, someone opposing you, someone saying something harsh to you, to your detriment, deliberately and unjustly, that's war. Try to always, before you do or say anything, think about what the result is going to be, because it's only one of two categories, constructive or non-constructive. Either something is going to work for you or against you. And this will pertain to every person, really, every creature on the planet. but particularly when it comes to people of color. Constructive, non-constructive, cause and effect. Something non-constructive or destructive. Or rather something constructive or non-constructive. Which would be non-constructive would be destructive. But those are the two categories. Constructive, non-constructive. That's all. Don't try to think about anything else, any move that you make, anything that you say to someone. Think about, is the result going to be constructive or non-constructive? Think about that before you even say anything to anybody, anywhere. Is it going to have a constructive result or not? That throws out a whole lot of loose profanity and all like that, unless you can prove that profanity is going to have a constructive effect. It's not going to make a bigger problem than you already have. Okay, some people prefer to do it. The code book says that stay away from that. Don't use what you call curse words and whatnot. It really doesn't help in most cases. You can find better words to use in order to get something done in most cases, unless something's completely out of order. I mean, to the extent that you attempted to try to use those words, which means you have to look at what that order is, what is causing out of order, because usually that won't help. Being discourteous certainly won't help in any type of instance. A lot of people think that this is a part of the culture, and it should be. That's what they think, that using profanity, cursing people out, that is a standard part of black culture, or even doing it in a friendly way. Profanity all day long. Some people can't say anything without using profanity. I've been around people like that, and they think that that's the way to talk, that that's a standard part of black culture. Borderline discourtesy, if not outright discourtesy, saying something derogatory. Just get rid of all of that and just talk in a way that you just get things done in the best possible manner. That's what communication is for. You get the best possible thing done in the best possible manner. Otherwise, it's best not to say anything, which with a lot of people, that's almost like suicide. That's like, some kind of harm is being done. You're ignoring our culture, unless you're just running your mouth all the time and just rambling and saying all kinds of terrible things about something or somebody. We call the birds in the sky, the trees over there across the street, the bus going by. We think that we got to call it a MF or something like that. Everything is that. That's a description for everything. And if you don't say it, you're not acting black. That's a bunch of nonsense.
Yes.
It ought to stop.
It ought to. Yes. Let me ask you this, Mr. Fuller. With what you just said and illustrated, with the background of the movie The Shawshank Redemption as a background, with the suggestions that you just made, would that be considered a type of intelligent resistance in that you are resisting logically?
Yes. Everything that you do that is constructive. A lot of people don't comprehend that, I think. Or sometimes they, in what they say should or should not be done, they dismiss all of that. And that's why I'm saying anything of constructive value, mm-hmm. anything that a black person does that has a constructive effect, works against the system of white supremacy. Because in the mind of a white supremacist, if you're black, if you're a person of color, black, brown, red, yellow, if you have color in your skin, you're supposed to always be talking stupid and doing stupid things and never doing anything of constructive value unless they want it done for them. Then that's when they make a black person very constructive, when they put the whip on his or her back. All right, then that black person for the first time will do something that makes sense. But when the whip stops, the sense making stops. That's what the white supremacists want.
All righty. TalkTeam@radio.com is a 24/7, no charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's one that I'm going to share with you, and it is called Wiggins World. This is where Stacey Wiggins comes in and gives you the latest information that he shares with people every week. Now, if you want to know what that information is, then you'll have to tune in. It's called Wiggins World, and it is exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. All you have to do is go to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click on programs for the scheduled times, and you'll find out. TalkTainmentRadio.com, that's radio the way it should be heard. I am Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. And if you would like to call in to the show, 1-877-932-9766, or you can go to TalkTainmentRadio.com, hit the Listen Live button at the top, and then you can hear the program. And while you are there, hit the Like and Subscribe button. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of action going on there. Let's go to the Gmails here. This comes from a loyal listener in Michigan. Says, Mr. Fuller, in the discussion on the topic of why interracial relationships are being promoted so heavily, you explained that the core of the strength of white supremacy is to always cause confusion in the minds of non-white people. One explanation you gave was the white supremacists play tricks on the mind of black people to cause maximum sexual confusion at all times in every way possible. You also mentioned, Mr. Fuller, that part of the white supremacist confusion is the illusion of a black male and white female relationship. You stated, Mr. Fuller, that the white supremacist will allow this now, but over a period of time, the cost of doing business over the deception is going up. So we have to have a limited number of white females spread out all over the world with a mission. Their mission is to capture the minds, particularly of the intellectual non-white males, particularly black males, etc. My question is this, Mr. Fuller. Why do white females and or white males choose black males or females more so than the other non-white males?
Why do they choose black males and females?
Yeah, why do white females and or white males choose black males or females more so than any other non-white males?
More so than any other non-white male.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you mean like the people who are classified as yellow people or brown people?
Now, for that one, you would have to ask her. I'm just reading it as she wrote it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what it sounds like.
Okay.
No, they choose them all. Anything that works. See, I'm beginning to see more and more white males walking alongside what is called, quote, unquote, Asian females, which I hadn't seen a lot of that before. I'm seeing more and more of it now. But according to counter-racist logic, it figures. Why? Because a lot of people who are classified as the yellow people, all right, or Asian people, are beginning to gain more and more power throughout the world. So the white supremacists, you know, the really refined ones, they always move where any non-white people look like they are gaining power, and they do that sexually, all right? One of their first moves is to move their females or their males into these sexual positions. And so when you capture a person's mind sexually, you just about got them in everything else. That's why they are doing all this scramble sex,
mm-hmm.
and border borderless sex, sex that has no borders with non-white people. That's to weaken them. See, the more intelligence that non-white people show in their speech and action, the white supremacists start, like I said, they start making adjustments. They say, oh, they're getting a little bit smarter than they have been for the last 1,000 years or so. Okay, so we got to head that off because they're not supposed to be getting just a little bit smarter unless we want them to be smart in certain things for a limited number of time before they go back to what they call their culture, which we will see to it that everything in their culture that will not help them to do anything that makes sense, all right? Because the white supremacists are totally mathematical. They only will do those things that will give them added strength. They don't do anything that will make them weaker. They make their opponents weaker or their prisoners of war weaker. And the prisoners of war in the system of white supremacy, naturally, are all of the non-white people on the planet. So sexually, yes, they make sexual moves. Anything that they do sexually with non-white people is not, regardless of how it looks on the surface, anything that they do sexually is to give greater strength to the system of white supremacy. Nail that into your brain, into your, you know, I don't care how it looks on the surface. And, you know, you might say, well, it's just, hey, you know, freedom, I mean, and it's people allowed to love each other. I mean, you know, it's not enough love in the world. That's not what that's about. That has nothing to do with love. These are strategic moves,
yes,
that have to do with white supremacist power being retained and refined and maintained.
Okay.
Expanded.
Okay. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call to get in contact with the show and ask your questions or your comments, which are welcomed. This question here says, Mr. Fuller, I know under compensatory logic, you're not supposed to call people liars. That is name calling. But Mr. Fuller, how do you make up words and terms daily that weakens the social, political, and religious system of racism through thought, speech, and action?
You ask people, you go into the question mode. All problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. No exceptions to that. So just put it in the form of a question. Rather than call a person a liar, that's name calling, all right? And that calls for more argument. People will resist that type of label. So what you do is simply ask, is that the truth? And is there any way that we can find out and prove that it's the truth? See, these are two questions. Is that the truth, sir? Are you telling the truth? Now, a person might say, well, it sounds like you're calling me a liar. Say, no, I didn't call you anything. I asked you a question, sir. I asked you, is that particular statement you just made the truth? And then you say what the statement is. If they made a statement that sounds like it's not true. So you just ask a question. Then you say, is there any way for me to find out that that definitely is the truth? Do you have any way for me to find out, since you're telling me that this is the truth? Is there any way for me to know for certain that what you're telling me is the truth?
They may not like you asking that question.
Yes, well then, you can just ask another question. Well, by me asking you this question, sir, is this going to cause you to want to do me harm?
Okay.
And don't help them with the answer. Once you ask the question, put the question mark behind the question and wait.
Okay.
That's the codified procedure.
All right.
All day long, every day, everywhere. Don't get into a thing of, you know, stay away from making statements. Statements have a tendency to lead to more argument. What you want to do is shut down argument.
Oh, right.
So questions, if you try it, you will find out that asking a question, you know, that helps to keep down or resist the tendency to expand an argument.
All right.
Stay in the question lane.
Stay in the question lane. Okay, he goes on to say this. He says, if logic is cause and effect, Mr. Fuller, are there only two forms of logic, non-constructive logic and or constructive logic? And if so, why do I have to choose constructive logic regardless of how I feel?
Because that works. See, logic is just you do what works, but there are, it's correct, the statement that you made, the two forms of logic. Logic that leads to something non-constructive, which is what the white supremacists do when it comes to non-white people, and logic that leads to something constructive. Logic just means cause and effect, a way of getting something done. I mean, the procedure that works. It works for something that is correct, or it works for something that is incorrect. So you want to always work for that which is correct. So that's the choice that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And always, it requires some thinking. You step back, and before you say anything or do anything, try to say, now what's going to be the result? You ask yourself that question. What's going to be the result of this thing that I'm fixing to say? What effect is it going to have?
You're using logic.
Yes, you're using logic. And you can use it for better or for worse. The white supremacists, they use logic, they use things that were for the better to make them stronger. And when they use things that are for worse, it's against their subjects, their prisoners of war, the non-white people of the planet that we call Earth. Because that's what they think about before they do make a move or make a statement about anything. What effect is this going to have on the non-white people of the world? Is it going to help them to become a better people, a stronger people, help them to not be my prisoners? Well, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it because I want them to become weaker as compared to my strength over them so that I can continue to abuse them.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Okay.
As a white supremacist. Otherwise, there's no point in being a white supremacist.
Okay. In the movie The Godfather, which you referenced quite a bit, was the use of drugs used to strengthen white supremacy?
Yes. Absolutely. And they said it certainly wasn't going to strengthen the person who was around that table when the characters named Barzini and Tattaglia's and the Corleones were all sitting there. I saw the movie again last night on television. It was shown. That's a movie that is a classic, and they keep showing it over and over again. And that lesson goes out in that movie when the Tattaglia's, the Barzini's, and these were the names of just the characters. I mean, you don't have to pay too much attention to the names. It's just what they were doing because they were members of a criminal family. This is not to disparage any group or anything like that other than showing you how the system of white supremacy works. That's the context you try to look at it
in. Okay. All right.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so what did the gentleman say at the table? He said, I don't believe in drugs. He said, I paid my people extra to try to stay away from that type of thing because I know that, you have it near schools. That's an infirmia. In other words, that makes the people destabilizes your entire society.
Yes.
Keep it away from schools. You don't want young children out there all drugged up and whatnot
okay.
in their infant years and whatnot. No, we don't want our children doing that. But in my district, and he was making a suggestion for everybody else around the table.
I don't mean to cut you off, Mr. Fuller, but I got to leave it there for these messages. Talk to him at radio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN podcast, all available. Download the Talk to Him at radio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Books them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of a Cut Above the Rest barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
We thank you for your emails and your feedback. And we are working very hard for you. We have supported the Compensatory Code since 1975. We believe that it is the only system of thought, speech, and action that enables us to move in the correct direction to work toward the production of justice. But right now, we need your help. If we're going to continue the Compensatory Concept Show each week, we need your support. Now, we thank you and deeply appreciate what you've already donated. Please help us to continue to get the Compensatory Code System of Thought, Speech, and Action out. Please donate today. Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and hit the yellow donate button on the front page. Donate today. We appreciate any amount that you can give. We thank you so much.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. I'm Mr. Bobby, the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Our base subject today is intelligent resistance. That flavor will go all throughout the show. We're doing your Gmails and we're doing phone calls. And before I return to the Gmails, we have a phone call. Go ahead, caller. You're on line one. Go ahead.
Great. My name is Thad.
A pleasure to speak to you, Mr. Bobby, and Mr. Fuller. I also saw The Godfather last night as well. So I wanted to share with Mr. Fuller, and I'm sure he's aware of it, but with the audience, that there's also a scene where, you know, before Sonny is killed, that's Vito Corleone's older son. There's a scene where they're all at the dinner table, and he mentions the N-word. He mentioned the you know, I don't want to repeat it on the air, but, you know, he mentions the N-words. He says those N-words, they're up there driving Cadillacs and such. Do you remember that scene, sir?
Yes. I mean, it's, most people would miss it because it wasn't very clear, and it was a long camera angle. And the voice of Sonny, when he said that, wasn't too clear to most people. They may have missed it. But he did use the N-word. He said, and those N's, just like you say, up in Harlem, while we've got this war going on among us, all right, among the families, the crime families, we got this war going on among ourselves. Those N's, they're taking advantage of it, okay?
Yeah.
And so they're riding around. We're not collecting the money because we can't show our faces on the street because we're out to kill each other. Okay.
Yeah.
So they know about that division type thing, and that's what he was saying. We got to settle these disputes with the Italians. That's what he was saying, and with Barzini and whomever we're having the dispute with, so we can get back to collecting the money off of these colored people, off of these black people. Who are up in Harlem, who are just, you know, they're making a heyday out of what is our money that we're supposed to be collecting from them as a part of the crime syndicates, okay? But we can't show our faces, so they're just running wild with our money. But we can put a stop to that if we settle this dispute among ourselves. And that has happened all down through history on a broad scale in the system of white supremacy. That's the illustration that you can learn from that. See what I mean? Yeah. When the white supremacists go at each other all down through history, during that interim, that's been a little small window in which the non-white people have gained a little bit of traction. But the white supremacists, right after they have this big dispute, like that so-called civil war and all like that, they do what? They shake hands and come out fighting the non-white people again. See, they always get back together.
Yeah.
And that's got to stop because they keep doing that over and over again. They have, you know, that throws black people off real easy. They'll say, oh, well, I mean, I imagine the slaves looking out the window of the big house back during plantation slavery. Slavery still, white supremacy is slavery, but that's another description. But back when we had plantation slavery in the Northwestern Hemisphere, a black slave looking out of the window and looking in the distance and seeing the smoke and the fires of battle and saying, well, now, hey, you know, all of the white folks are fighting each other. I mean, they're just slaughtering each other by the bushel. And I'm not even in this. I don't have nothing to do with it. But they're fighting each other. And since Master, it looked like he and his sons, they got killed yesterday, and all that food I laid out on the table, you know, they're not here to eat it. I prepared that meal for them and all like that, because, you know, I was always scared not to have it ready on time, and I get whooped, you know, but they got killed today. Mm-hmm. We just got a message that they died over there in the battlefront, killing each other, fighting about whether they're going to keep me as a slave or not. And who's going to get the different parts? How are they going to divide it up? Just like the Corleones. How are you going to divide up turf? That's what it was all about, that so-called Civil War. How are you going to handle the Negroes? What's the best way to handle them? I mean, because the way you're handling them is bad for business. See, we want to always suppress them or keep them under wraps. But the way we're going about doing it is not going to work in the long run. I mean, we got to have some type of coalition here, some type of understanding, so that the profits are distributed equally among the white supremacists. That's what that was all about. But getting back to the point, the slave looking out the window, and that food is sitting on the table getting cold because the white supremacists are slaughtering each other. The slave went and ate the food. That's what I mean by sometimes doing these conflicts when the white supremacists are arguing back and forth with each other and fighting each other, the slave gets a little better benefits. Not for long, but just while the battle is going on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one last thing about that scene in The Godfather. What I thought was interesting about it was that it was being said at the dinner table with everybody present, including the women and children. So this is like a contrast to the one where Vito is having the meeting with Barzini and Tataia and all the other heads of the five families. This one was just one Italian family with women and children present where Sonny makes the statement. So it just helps you to understand how white supremacists probably talk when they're sitting around the family at the dinner table. I just thought that was very interesting to note. I have been paying attention to films ever since you started. You've talked about the importance of learning lessons from film. There's just one last thing I want to say really quickly. I want to ask you, have you seen the movie World War Z?
World War Z?
Yes, it's with Brad Pitt, and it's about zombies.
No, I've seen it advertised. I've never seen the movie.
Okay, if you get a chance, you should try, put that on your list. I know you have a long list of films to watch. But that one is very important, and I'd like to also recommend that the listening audience take a look at World War Z, because I think there's some big messages in that we can learn from in order to defeat white supremacy. There's a scene where a young scientist is brought on the team to help figure out what is this virus that's affecting people and turning them into zombies. Right, it was a very interesting movie, and this young scientist says he makes this statement to Brad Pitt about how you can defeat or find out the weakness of this virus. So the virus is, I substitute the virus with white supremacy, because he says that the virus basically can't resist the urge. It's like a serial killer, and it cannot resist the urge to want to get caught. To substitute the virus for white supremacy.
Mm.
It wants to take credit for its murders and basically how it's terrorizing people and dominating people and killing people. It wants to take credit for it like a serial killer.
Okay.
However, it leaves behind clues.
All righty.
And the thing that you thought was the most brutal aspect of this virus / white supremacy turns out to be the chink in its armor.
Okay, my brother, I'm going to have to...
And she loves to disguise her weakness as strength.
I don't mean to have to cut you off, but we're going a little bit over.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you for your call. Mr. Fuller, you care to respond to that before we talk about your book?
Well, anytime black people doing this system of white supremacy exists, everything that you study it to try to find out the racist content. Everything that you study, everything that you see people doing, because it's in there somewhere, either directly or indirectly. Even when racism is not being mentioned or anything about black or white or anything like that, there are lessons there. There are lessons about things to do and things not to do. And there are lessons as to why to do these things and why not to do these things, because the white supremacists send out messages that give the system of white supremacy strength.
Yes.
To people who are viewing their movies and reading their books, all right? But the black people will read the same, look at the same movies and read the same books, but they won't pick up the messages.
They won't pick the messages.
And that's what we have to start doing.
Okay.
What are the messages? Is it constructive or non-constructive. If you do this, this, and this, will it have a constructive result? Will it work for you, or will it work against you? That's what you look for in every movie that you look at, no matter what the movie is.
Okay. Speaking about movies, let's move along to this. This is the 45-minute portion of the program, which we talk about, have you speak to your book. Now, is there any new movement concerning your books? What is the latest detail, and then how can we get the books or any relevant information about the books?
Oh, just go to producejustice.com. I was informed as of yesterday, everything is off and back in place again. We did have some distribution problems for about a week and a half, but now all of that has been corrected. So go to producejustice.com, and the books are up there, and they're available, I've been told, as of yesterday, both in London, that is the UK, and in Canada, and also everywhere else in the northwestern hemisphere called the United States. Not yet in Africa or any place like that, but in the United Kingdom and in Canada and here in what they call, quote-unquote, the continental United States. The book is available. Go to producejustice.com, and what will come up on the screen is the method for ordering.
Okay. Now, Mr. Fuller, this is a side note. You just mentioned that the book is not available in Africa, but I'm here to tell you that something is going on with that. I don't know if you are aware of it, but there are a lot of people in Africa that are receiving your book or have knowledge of it. I don't know what the network is or how that is happening, but I've been getting a lot of Gmails from people from Africa. So something is going on that. Now, you are, as far as you know, are you trying to extend the coverage to what is called so-called Africa?
I'm trying to get the book all over the world because that's the only way you can solve this problem. It's a world problem. The system of racism is a world problem. So I'd like to have my book in every village, in every town, among all the tribal peoples, everywhere. Make it available. But now, if the book is available in Africa, I'm not aware of it, and I don't know who's doing it, and it could be the white supremacists themselves.
Yes.
I'm certainly not being compensated from that area if anybody is illegally distributing and or printing the book. And so, but I will have someone look into that.
Okay.
Because I'm not familiar with any of that. Nobody's contacted me and made that type of arrangement.
Okay.
Books are available electronically, and that's illegal if people are getting money for it.
Yes, if they're getting money for it. And by the way, before we move on, you are not, and you have stated this or something to this, similar to this statement, that you are not going to, as far as you know, you are not going to go to an audio format. Is that correct?
No, I don't intend to do that.
Okay, good.
And I want people to learn how to read, including the people who missed out on doing that at some time or another, because they're going to have to do that anyway. See, that's a part of the code. Try to learn how to read and how to learn how to read all types of languages after you learn one language. I haven't done it, but I would like to be able to speak two languages that I don't speak now. I'd like to be able to speak fluent Spanish, and I'd like to be able to speak fluent French. And then maybe as another one, Arabic, later on. But I just don't have the time to do that, to study it. But I would like to be able to do that now.
Okay.
And I think that all of the people of the planet should be able to speak those major languages. You're not going to be able to speak all the tribal languages like the so-called American Indian tribal languages.
Right.
There's too many of them. Or even all of the Zulu languages and whatnot, whatever that is. But those major, what you might call European languages, are what they call Indo-European.
Yes. Okay. Let's see.
This comes from Brother Thomas. He mentions, he says this, question for Mr. Fuller. If whites practice white supremacy and also Christianity, doesn't that mean that Christianity and white supremacy are the same thing, since blacks have been practicing Christianity for hundreds of years and it has not eliminated white supremacy? They still are collective energy by faking or causing all of these racial incidents, and it only furthers their agenda to keep us wasting energy on emotional reactions and not using any logic whatsoever. I cannot believe that after hundreds of years that God's people still cannot see through this obvious and simple trick. They know how to misdirect our energy and then use it for themselves to stay in power.
Well, the person who is presenting that has practically said what is going on.
Exactly.
The white supremacists use, they will examine any type of religious activity, what is called religious activity, among the non-white people of the world. And what they'll do, they will go and study whatever that religion is, and they will arrange that religion in such a way, by talking to the people, they will get the people to take out of their religion anything that's bad for the business, you might say, using organized crime terms, bad for the business of white supremacy. You take that out, and you put in something that's going to be supportive of white supremacy. That's the way they'll work it with any religion, and that's how they do it. They just simply, they don't try to eradicate their religion or anything like that. They just make sure that nothing in their religion is going to tamper with the religion of white supremacy. The
yes.
religion of white supremacy is supposed to be always the strongest religion on the planet, among the people of the planet Earth. So the white supremacists will go around, and there are a lot of what you might call tribal religions. They'll study that tribal religion, and then they'll go and talk to the chief and say, I'll tell you what, chief, you got a pretty good religion here, and we like your ceremonies. I mean, we don't mind you dancing around a fire. We don't mind you going to the rock over there and praying at that particular rock, I mean, for rain or whatever it is, and we don't mind you having the fire dance or whatever, any type of what you call the entertainment portions of your religion. You can do all the singing and dancing you want to, all right? You can do all the hand clapping and foot stomping you want to. But now if you do anything in your religion that looks like it's going to be harmful to any part of my business, that part of your religion has to come out of your religion. Just ignore it. I mean, just don't mention it, all right? Don't get the people interested in it.
Yes.
All right? But you can do all the other stuff. You can have your religious food and all like that. We don't mind that. That's fun and games. I mean, but don't you do anything in your religion. I don't care what it is, Christianity, Islam, Confucianism, Hinduism, Judaism. If you're a person of color, and you're going to do anything in that religion that's going to be harmful to the system of white supremacy, that part has got to come out of your religion, or you're going to find out that I'm your God, because I will come down on you heavy, and you know it. And all of you religious scholars and whatnot, among you black people who have tried to use your religion against me, have felt my wrath. I'll try to talk to you at first. But if you keep doing what you're doing and it's hurting my business, I will kill you. Because I'm your God. You don't have any God other than me. And if you don't believe it, try me.
Wow. Let's see here. Going to the Gmails. This one says, greetings, Mr. Fuller. Once again, we have an avoidable incident with suspected racist white supremacists. If the person of color would have applied the suggestion of not fussing, fight, or fleeing, although there is no doubt the suspected racist white supremacist initiated the incident, but because someone placed the bait in the water, does not mean we have to bite. Now another child has lost their father. I thought they were referring to the incident in Florida where a man got into a discussion with a suspected race soldier. I'm trying to use code carefully here. And resisted. He fought and flee, and they shot him. Mr. Fuller, what say you?
Well, it's going to continue. See, we got to remember we are already prisoners of war. The average black person doesn't walk around thinking that he or she is a prisoner of war. They're not in these office buildings thinking that they are prisoners of war, but they are. I'm saying they are. I'm either saying something that's true or false. There's never been even a truce that's been declared officially and made official by a manifestation of deeds. In other words, what people actually do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of the conflict between, you know, white and non-white people, including slavery, which we still have slavery. Slavery was never abolished. It was abolished on paper. But what is slavery? Slavery is nothing but a form of mistreatment. That's all that it is. You know, you're not chopping cotton, and that's what not makes you a slave. That's just chopping cotton. All right? But you can be taken off of that plantation and still be a slave. You're no longer chopping cotton. And you might be somewhere working in an air-conditioned office.
But you're still a slave.
But you're still a slave to the system of white supremacy.
Okay.
Anytime anybody does anything against you because of your color, and there's nothing that you can figure out of what to do about it, you are, by definition, a slave. If a person mistreats you at the water cooler, at that, you know, you're a slave. If it's nothing that you can do about it. If you can't get a promotion, if you can't get a job, you're a slave. Why? Because it goes back to the original captivity. You came under them. Just because you know, even in what you call plantation slavery, there were black people working in the big house, all right? They ate better food than a lot of white people at that time. Why? They were right there in the kitchen where the food was. They were preparing the food. So they were eating those chicken legs and turkey legs and whatnot, and along with the piles of potatoes and whatnot, and getting a lot of it, okay, before it ever made the master's table. And a lot of white people at that same time, even though they were white, they were out there who didn't have money and didn't have a plantation, and they were starving, all right? But the slave was still a slave. You're just a well-fed slave, that's all, because you are still being mistreated because of what? Your color. It's not how much money you got in the bank. I mean, they give it to you and they take it away, like they always do. Like in 2018, lots of black people got piles of money all over the planet now. And the white supremacists are giving them more and more of it. And they're strutting around like they're in control of something. They're not in control of anything. The white supremacists control them and everything that they have. And they pull the rug out from under them anytime they get ready. We see that. You can go down a list of names that they pull the rug out from under. I mean, and that person that had everything yesterday has nothing today.
Nothing
Why?
Today.
Because they are still under the system of white supremacy.
Okay, with
and
that.
Anytime they want to, they prove it to you.
Okay, with that, we leave it there for the first hour. TalkTimeRadio.com. We heard. We'll see you the second hour. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why. One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.